But it's also difficult because we have to fund our lifestyle for longer. But I think the key thing, as you would know, is it's not about how long you live, it's about the quality of life that you have. So if you are someone who's able to remain healthy and to continue working, that's actually not that bad, right? In fact, I would submit that.
Hello and welcome to the Woke Finance Podcast, a podcast discussing all things finance and all things finance related. It's your boy Peter and I'm with my co-host, my bro Jax. How are you today?
Yes, Peter, I'm doing very well, man. Here in the UK, we've moved our clocks forward, I believe, which means we are having longer days and shorter nights in terms of how bright the days are. And that really excites me because I am a summer baby. I really do love the longer days and the shorter nights.
Love it, love it, love it. And Jax, actually, by the time this episode's released, it's going to be the new tax year. So happy new tax year in advance, man.
Oh, Peter, happy new tax year. Look, we've spoken about this off air. This has been the first time over the past 4 or 5 years where I've been able to take advantage of one of the main tax advantages in the name of a stocks and shares ISA. And that's really interesting. It makes me feel very emotional that, I'm back. I can actually save more money than I have done in the past. So that's really exciting.
But the listener saying, what does that mean in terms of taking advantage of a stocks and shares, and particularly those that are not in the UK? What on earth does that mean?
Yeah, so here in the UK we have certain tax allowances. The main one I'm speaking about is called a stocks and shares or an ISA allowance, which means you're able to deposit and save into this specific type of account, and you're able to invest in this account, and all the gains that you can make, whether it's dividends, interest, capital gains, all the gains you make within this account is not taxable. And it's also a flexible account, so you can take the money out when you please. So for our US listeners, it's very, very similar to your Roth IRA.
Come on, thanks for that, Jax. A few minutes in and a ready bit of lovely knowledge for our listeners as well. For our listeners as well, all over the world, hopefully you are well. And yeah, we just want to recognize you and say a massive thank you for your ongoing support. Please keep doing what you are doing, listening, subscribing, sharing, commenting, all of that good stuff as well. But now, Jax, man, this topic is for me personal, one of my personal favorite topics when it comes to the personal finance journey. And it's really going to be around the retirement, probably not the great side of retirement, but we're going to be looking at the other side of it as well. So we're going to be taking a bit of a deep dive into retirement and really looking at what we are calling the retirement crisis. This was birthed from what you've seen recently. Do you want to give a bit of context?
Yeah, absolutely. So, in recent times, I was watching the Bloomberg channel, and it was an interview with Larry Fink, who is the CEO of BlackRock, who was talking about basically the retirement crisis taking place across the world. Globally, he was focused much more on the US market, but he did acknowledge that this is a global issue. And you and myself, Peter, we know definitely that this is definitely something that the UK citizens are very well aware of, and it's something that's happening here in the UK. So yeah, that's where the topic was influenced from.
Love it, love it, love it, man. And I mean, there's so much we can dive into when it comes to retirement, but we're going to be taking a bit more of a deep dive into this whole theme around the retirement crisis and how bad it is really. And it really does depend on so many factors when it comes to this whole idea of retirement crisis. Jack's here in the UK. What comes to mind when we're talking about retirement and how ready people are for retirement? What does that even look like in terms of being ready for retirement?
Yeah, great question. So, I mean, retirement is one of those ideologies that is very much linked to an age, a time in one's life where they decide not to work anymore for different reasons. Most of the reasons are either because you are able to and you've made a conscious decision that you've done your time when it comes to being in employment or actively in work, and you've decided that you want to spend less time out of work or no time at work at all. That can happen because obviously it's a conscious decision, or it can happen because you literally can't continue anymore. So the concept of retirement often is very much linked to age and also linked to the ability and willingness to continue working. Now, there are certain benchmarks in society as well that kind of guide people as to when they probably should retire. And most of the time, it's linked to when they have access to a certain type of investment, which again is linked to retirement, for example, their pensions. So here in the UK, if you are someone who is going to be eligible to receive the state pension, or other places probably call it a welfare benefit, basically pensions from the welfare system, you have to be usually around 65 to 68 here in the UK. So that's an indication as to when people expect the average person to really start retiring. Of course, you can have access to things like private pensions and stuff like that earlier. But generally speaking, people use the state age as a guide as to when they are think they're thinking of retiring.
Now, I assume you want a fantastic retirement, Jax. When I say the word retirement or a good retirement, what images come to mind for you?
Yeah, I think when people think about retirement, they think about people jumping on a cruise, people on the beach, just really enjoying themselves, enjoying the freedom away from having to do what I'm doing now, for example, of waking up really early in the morning. As I was saying earlier on in the episode, we've just come through a season of winter where it gets really dark really quickly, and it's really dark in the mornings as you're going to work. So surely, if one can get away from that day to day of waking up really early and then going to work and then coming home potentially late, then that would be great. So those are the things that really excite people about retirement, not having to work because they have to, but being able to actually really enjoy the time with their family. Often the images are those of ones where grandparents are looking after their grandchildren, they're going on cruises, traveling the world, seeing the world, etc. But as you would know, Peter, I'm probably we might touch on it on this episode. You don't have to wait until you're old before you retire.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm sure we will do that. Now, I mean, this is a global issue, as you saw recently from CEO of BlackRock, and it's something we've mentioned on some of our episodes as well. We love talking about retirement, pensions, and all of that stuff as well. But Jax, maybe just as a bit of a recap, or maybe just bringing in some new insight into this, what is the actual issue? Why is there such an issue? And why is there a retirement crisis?
Yeah. So, I mean, even before we even talk about why there is a retirement crisis right now, and what it means for our current citizens, retirement as an individual thing occurs when you're able to actually look after yourself, right? So, if you are not able to generate income, which is the primary source of thing that you use to look after yourself, right? If you're not able to generate income because you're not working anymore, the income has to come from somewhere else. You still, need to pay for bills, right? You might have some things that you can get for free, but generally you still have to pay for bills. We're talking about cruise ships. I mean, that has to be paid for. It's not free. So, generally speaking, retirement as an individual concept can only really take place comfortably when someone is still has the income to support their lifestyle in retirement. That's something that we should really be thinking about. But what's even harder now, what's become a big issue for different members of society is number one, we are living longer, right? So before, generally speaking, when we looked at a gap between when people had access to their pensions, and when you related that to people's life expectancy, you find that the gap wasn't that wide. So, if someone had access to the pensions at the age of 60, the life expectancy might have been 70 or 75, for example. So the gap wasn't so wide, which means whatever money that you've been able to save up, you've been able to you can live off that for 15 years. It's not the hardest thing to do. However, if you now look at today's projections, if the retirement age is 68, But now the life expectancy is, let's say, I think it's up to like 100 now, or let's say 90 something. You have to fund your retirement for another 25 years. Where is the income going to come from? You know, if you're not working for that income.
That is a huge question, Jax. That's another 25 to 30, depending on how long one is living. 20 to 25 years extra. Where is that income going to come from?
Well, that's the question, right? You've got to find a way to fund your retirement. So, generally speaking, you know, people will have a pension pot. We've spoken about it in previous episodes where people believe in something called a 4% rule, which essentially says whatever you're able to save up and store into some sort of investment or savings, you're able to live off 4% of that, you know, for a long period of time. And without actually having to run out of that money. So, example is if you wanted to live off £40,000 per year, you would have to have a nest egg of £1 million. And that's because 4% of 1 million is £40,000. So, yeah, think about it like that. I mean, when we put the numbers to it, it really highlights why the problem is so prevalent in current economic conditions.
Now, a lot of people listen to Jax is probably saying, 1 million pounds? How on earth am I going to have 1 million pounds in my pension pot?
Yeah, well, that's one of the things we like to do is to highlight this because it does really open your eyes. It opens your eyes to what really needs to be done in order to really live a comfortable retirement life. Now, I do want to stress that, you know, in retirement, the chances are, if you've done it properly, and why it was less of a crisis before is chances are by that time you would have paid off your mortgage, which is usually our biggest expense. Right. So if you've already paid off your mortgage and you are entering retirement, you don't need such a huge income to supplement your lifestyle because your biggest cost has already been covered. Right. However, talking about the crisis, the retirement crisis that is taking place right now and is likely to take place for millennials and Gen Zs is that a lot of millennials and Gen Zs may still be paying a pension well into retirement. So even though you've hit, you know, the 65, 68, age, you might still have a mortgage outstanding, right? Which means whilst you may want to stop, you know, that primary source of work that brings in your primary source of income, you actually can't because a big expense still exists, which is often people's mortgages. So that's also one of the things that are contributing to this retirement crisis that is taking place now and likely to continue taking place unless we take very proactive steps to combat it.
Wow. Now, we also make mention that the government does pay a state pension. Obviously you need to qualify for that as well. For the people that may not have all of the education when it comes to personal finance and feel, yep, I'm gonna work 20, 30 years in full-time employment and then I'll be able to retire and get state pensions from the government and I should be all right. What do you have to say about that?
Oh, I think that's a very bad idea. So I think it's really important to understand what the state pension is and how much it is. I can't pick up the numbers on the top of my head, but it comes up to about £200 a week or just above £200 a week here in the UK. The truth of the matter is most people can't live their lifestyle on that amount of money. And I think the way to really think about it is the state pension, in my opinion anyway, should be a complementary income, not your main source of income, right? In fact, many financial planners I've spoken to have, you know, spoken about the potential of it not existing by the time we get there, right? So when they do financial planning for clients, they don't base their, you know, the financial forecast on state, you know, state pensions. They base it on other things like current income and other assets, etc. And they use the state pension as a complementary income rather than the main source of income. And I think individuals should definitely be doing that as well.
I love that. I love that. Now, at the beginning of this, you mentioned, the issue happens way before people even approach the so-called retirement age, and that's whilst people are working as well. What's going on here when people are working for 20, 30 years, which is pretty much been the case for everyone for how many generations? Why are we not getting this right? Why are we not being successful in terms of the majority of the nation having a good retirement?
Yeah, there are many different reasons and ideas and explanations. Some of them could be just purely the rate of inflation going up quite quickly. Some people say it's actually based on individuals. I think a big part of it is, of course, individuals. We are work for, and as we believe individuals should take responsibility for their own actions and their own lives. And yes, generally speaking, the average person often doesn't really have that foresight, doesn't really think that long term. And we also know that there is a lack of financial education and financial literacy amongst people. But a lot of the, put simply, Peter, people just don't really think about prioritizing their financial futures unless they have to. And that's why one of the things that I think the financial system here in the UK has actually done well is they introduced auto enrollment in April the 6th, I believe 2012, where now if you are employed and you have certain qualifying attributes, like you earn over £22,000, and no, sorry, you're over the age of 22 and you earn over £10,000, that you are automatically enrolled into your company's pension scheme, and your company has to sign you up and contribute on your behalf as well. I think that's an amazing thing that they've done. And actually, when you look at the studies, you see that that has really positively contributed to people's ability to at least have some sort of retirement.
No, agreed on that, agreed on that. And I like what you're saying in terms of and not a lot of people are thinking about prioritizing it. It's not that people are not thinking about retirement and pensions even from a young age. It's just that at this point in time, they people might feel that there are other more pressing matters to prioritize it, especially when there's only so much they might be earning.
Absolutely, absolutely. And when you combine that with, again, just not actually understanding how compounding works, for example, or understanding the tax efficiencies of pension savings and accounts like pensions, then of course, people would rather, have their money today, right? A lot of people believe and understand the time value of money. And generally speaking, people want to spend money today rather than put it aside and have to do it for decades before they have access to it. So yeah, again, one of the things that governments have actually done very well, I think, is to introduce here in the UK the auto enrollment scheme.
No, agreed, agreed, agreed. Now, Jax, this is obviously a global crisis, right? The retirement crisis. It's global, which generally means that a large number of people across the world, unfortunately or statistically, are going to continue to contribute to this crisis unless something is done. Now, for our listeners and for, the people that our listeners speak to, what is the solution? What can we do to ensure that we don't contribute to that crisis, but we contribute to retirement successes?
Well, I think firstly we acknowledge the problem. I think I've heard somewhere or I've read somewhere that 50% of solving a problem is actually acknowledging that it exists. So acknowledging that, if you chances are if most people just continue the way they've been, doing things anyway, they will probably form part of that pension crisis. It's just the truth, right? So acknowledging that truth. And then thinking about what you can do in order to not be part of that kind of statistic. I know the obvious ones, of course, is quite mechanical, quite mathematical. In order to have a comfortable retirement, you often need a nest egg. You need something that will feed you. So, pension accounts are one of those things. So you want to be contributing as much as you possibly can comfortably into your pension pot, and start as soon as possible. So not waiting for for when all of a sudden maybe your business does really well, or when you think your career is actually doing well, that's when you're going to start putting money away. Absolutely not. You probably want to start putting money away now, because the power of compounding, or the power of time in compounding, is very powerful. So you want to start straight away. Next thing is actually, in my opinion, this is more of an opinion thing. I think most people should really consider taking an active role in the investing. So, rather than just leaving their pensions to be in their default fund, which most people do, actually looking into their pension pots, seeing what is invested in, looking at the fee structure, all that kind of stuff. Because, someone who's paying 1% fee is going to be hit really, really hard compared to someone who's paying a 25 basis points, sorry, 0.25% in fees, where you compound that over decades, right? So really looking under the bonnet is really important.
No, I'm definitely in agreement with that as well. And you know, we mentioned that people are living longer now, Jax. You know, what could that mean in terms of a solution? What could that mean? Okay, if it, I'm not, we're not living, you know, up to like 70s, 80s as before, but even 90s and late 90s and stuff. How can we take advantage of that? As well as part of the solution.
Yeah, well, one of the great things is we're living longer, right? So living longer is both amazing and it can be quite scary, right? So it's amazing because yes, we get to experience life for longer, but it's also difficult because we have to fund our lifestyle for longer. But I think the key thing, as you would know, is it's not about how long you live, it's about the quality of life that you have. So if you are someone who's able to remain healthy, and to continue working, that's actually not that bad, right? In fact, I would submit that actually continuing to work for a long period of time is actually really good for people. It's good for the brain. It's good to keep active. It's good to still have this kind of like sense of self and sense of being and being an important member of society. There's another word I'm looking for. It's not coming yet, but it's identity, really. A lot of people identify themselves with their career paths and stuff like that. So, there's nothing wrong with continuing to work, right? I mean, I'm big on having an option, but yeah, living longer can mean actually working longer, and that doesn't have to be a bad thing, I think. I think that's one thing I really want to get across. It doesn't have to be a bad thing to work, well into your 70s, 80s, etc., if that's what you want to do. But I think it is important to have that option rather than it being imposed upon you.
And I love that. And in order for that to be an option, you know, ideally we want to always continually trying to be the best version of ourselves in all aspects of our lives. One of that being our health. Because as you said, it's about increasing our health span and not just our lifespan. And on that note, definitely encourage our listeners to tune into one of our best episodes this year, and of extremely important episodes for pretty much every individual. And that's episode 163, which is called Health is Wealth, How to Increase Our Health Span. And we invited Dr. Aleem Obalogun on that episode. And we've got a part two as well, which goes into things like cancer, diabetes, mental health, etc. That's episode 165. But no, that was a great episode, man.
Absolutely. One of the things I encourage people to do, as someone who does listen to podcasts and also watch YouTube videos, etc., and even reading books, is to listen to it more than once. I'm actually encouraged to actually go back and listen to that episode again because there were so many amazing nuggets in that episode. So definitely, absolutely. But yeah, going back to the solutions to the pension, not the retirement problem, sorry, is also really thinking about other ways you can generate income that's not purely from your primary source of income. So I know the terminology passive income has been thrown around quite a lot, but even in your later ages, there are ways to make extra bits of income that does not need to be completely tied down to the amount of time you spend doing it. I don't know how many people do this, but the other day I actually saw someone, a very older lady, on YouTube, right? She had a YouTube channel, and that YouTube channel was doing really, really well, right? And that's actually another source of income for her. How amazing for an older lady to be passing on wisdom and, in my opinion, also passing on a legacy whilst also earning an income that's supplementing her retirement. I think that's amazing.
I love that. I really do. And in this day and age, man, there are more and more things that you can do to supplement your today and for the future as well, which I love. And Jax, I remember we done an episode around things like digital assets and stuff like that, getting income from that, but those things stay out there for a lifetime essentially. So things that you are doing in your 30s, 40s, and 50s, you might not need to continue to do them in their six in your 60s, but it'll be providing you an income.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So intellectual property is one of those things that's very well known. for doing this. You can write a book today, right? And you can keep collecting the royalties and keep collecting sales and stuff like that well into your life, right? Even when you're gone, you can still be collecting an income from it. So absolutely something that we encourage our listeners to definitely be thinking about, not specifically just for even retirement or for an income, but I think it's a great way to pass down your legacy as well.
Yeah, I did mention those in their 40s and 50s, and I did have a question on that before I do that. Anything else in terms of, what the solution can be in order for us to, avoid that retirement crisis that's apparently statistically is coming upon many people?
Yeah, I think look, what we've spoken about today is very important for those in their 20s, 30s, and 40s to be very aware of. And the solutions are quite simple. It's about really getting your mind into a place where you prioritize securing your financial future. But I would also say, if there are any listeners who are older, or for listeners who are younger and have parents who are struggling to retire, it's something that you have to have a conversation with them about. Are they in a position to retire? Do they want to retire? How do they plan to retire? And also, think about how you can support them. I think, in one of our most popular episodes, I think it was one of our first three episodes, we had an episode, where we were kind of bantering about our parents' pension. And whilst it's fun topic and there was a lot of jokes and stuff like that, I think the truth of the matter is, yes, we can definitely, help and supplement our parents or the older generation, whoever we're close to actually help them retire.
Yeah, and that was being linked to what I was to ask about as well, in terms of, for that listener who is, in their mid to late 50s or so, and really just deep in it, maybe, and just really thinking, wait, I actually don't really have anything to retire on. I don't even know if I've thought about it much. What can I do? And you just mentioned a few things there, the family is there, it's not the ideal situation, but it's an opportunity for family to support. And as you said, for, if you're listening to this and you have parents, having that in-depth discussion with your siblings, man, and families in terms of how you can support them.
Well, absolutely. And if there is anyone who has stumbled across our podcast who is in their 50s and is wondering, how can they actually start thinking about retirement, remember that the whole essence of this crisis that's taking place and going to take place is the fact that we are living longer. So you're actually probably younger than you think, right? Maybe your body doesn't feel that way, but chances are, if you're going to live up to 90, you've just gone halfway. So you've still got a very long time before you move on. So it's important to really still understand that you can definitely still be very proactive, and of course you will have to be a bit more aggressive when it comes to putting money away, but really taking advantage here in the UK of pension accounts where you get that tax efficiency, really trying to get in as much as you possibly can into that account, and let that compounding do its job. Even if it's for 10 years, it can be meaningful.
I love that. I love that. I love that, man. Knowledge for everyone, man. Anything else in your mind in terms of the retirement? Actually, let me hold you on there. I want to give a shout out to place where we're getting listeners from as well. And I think we've given a shout out to this area, but it's probably been at least a couple of years. And it is a New York City.
Jeez, I'm from
Come
New
on.
York, New York. Yeah, so again, somewhere I've not been to yet, but it is most definitely on my bucket list. I definitely want to visit. Welcome to the Woke Finance Podcast. You are here with myself, Jax, and the co-host, Peter. On this podcast, we talk about all things finance and all things finance related. And if you want to know more about what we do, because we are more than just a podcast, we serve in the community, head over to www.wokefinance.co.uk. That's www.wokefinance.co.uk. And if you want to engage with us on socials, we are predominantly on Instagram and LinkedIn. So if you search for Woke Finance team on Instagram, you will find us. And if you search for Woke Finance on LinkedIn, you will find us as well. But I hope you are enjoying all our episodes, and I hope you are gaining tons of value.
Come on, a shout out to our listeners over there in New York. As we're recording, just seeing, gosh, there's been some sort of an earthquake felt across New York as well. So if anyone has been affected by that, definitely showing some love over to you over there. But yeah, definitely a massive shout out to our listeners over there and all over the world as well, man. We see you and we recognize you and we appreciate you loads. But now, Jax, man, we've been touching on this whole retirement crisis as well, which for a lot of people is quite bleak. But hopefully, we've given some insight to get people excited, and maybe for that person that hasn't really thought about retirement or hasn't prioritized it, maybe this episode has just given them that click. And it also encouraged them to share it with others as well.
Yeah, and just to answer your question, the question you was about to ask me before, we said a very huge thank you to our New York listeners, thinking about the solutions and stuff. I think one of the key things that I would want to mention is that retirement doesn't just have to happen at the end of your life, and it doesn't have to happen as a one-stop shop, as in you've retired and then that's it, you never go back into work. I think there is a new concept of mini retirements that potentially our generation will probably want to do, which is rather than waiting for a period in our career where we just literally stop working and then we go completely to the other side and we don't work at all, for example, you can take mini retirement. So an example of a mini retirement before, you'd have probably heard people mention things like sabbaticals and stuff like that. But essentially going on, short periods in your career where you take time away from work. Right, it could be 6 months, it could be a year, it could be 2 years, right? It's taking time away from work and then obviously going back, but it's something you can do. Even in those periods of retirement, you may want to do other sorts of passion projects that can still bring in income, right? So it's not completely out of work. But most definitely the fact that we will be living for longer, it may be actually very mathematically difficult to just have one pot that you want to live off for the next 30 years or so. But if you do take within that 30 years, if you go work for, let's say, 5 years and then take a 2 year break, and then go work for 2 years and then take a 5 year break, for example, that can actually work well for you, both from a financial perspective, but also from even a well-being perspective, where you still feel very much a very important member of society and a contributor to society.
I love that. I love that. I actually know someone who's just come back from a so-called mini retirement, actually. It was their first one. They're in their 50s. And yeah, they used it just to do like passion projects, work around the house and other bits of work as well. And no, it's great because it's easing you into that and getting you used to what life is going to be like in a prolonged retirement as well. And so if you are in a position, financial position, and to be able to do that, yeah, I love that idea, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I really like it. I think, I mean, I can't tell you exactly what I want to do now. I mean, I'm a huge fan of financial independence anyway. So, most definitely having mini retirements, having short periods where you stop working or you focus on things outside of like employment and stuff like that can be very, very healthy. I remember back in 2018, I'm not sure if you remember this, Peter, but I actually took a sabbatical.
I remember,
Yeah, of course you remember, because I was telling you how broke I became, right?
tips.
But yeah, I took between 6 months to a year off work. Did a bit of traveling. Went to visit Canada, went to Dominican Republic, etc. And it was an amazing experience, and it really showed me what financial independence can look like if I can achieve it. But of course, I had to come back to work and get some money. Let's be brutally honest about that as well. So, yeah, definitely something we can definitely consider as we continue on our career.
Yeah, I do remember like the benefits that brought you actually. Yeah, I could see like the joy it brought you as well and the spring in your step as well. And just taking that time off, meaningful time and rest and recharge for the body. Because at the end of the day, listen, once you become an adult, if you are working for the majority of your adult, that's a good 30 years, man. It's good to take some prolonged breaks. Sometimes your 25 days of annual leave isn't enough.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So yeah, love that, love that, love that. Nah, Jax, man, it's really been good to just touch base on this. Anything else before I let you go, man?
Yeah, I think, Again, one thing I would love for more and more people to do is to be to you know take an active interest and be an active participant when it comes to investing and really building up their net worth and understanding that we don't do this just to be rich or to drive the Lamborghinis or anything like that. What we're trying to do is get to a place of financial security, financial independence, being able to do the things that we want to do without being constrained financially. And being able to use our time effectively and efficiently. So, I will also encourage people to understand that whilst investing through your pensions is a great way to really store money aside, and that's the first place you want to go to really grow your pot, but also to take an active interest in other types of assets. We've spoken about people writing books. That's intellectual property where you can collect royalties. That is also an asset. It's not just about the traditional assets like stock shares, bonds, and property, but also other assets, other businesses, and that kind of stuff as well. Being very intentional about it and not leaving it to chance. I think that's the key thing. That's the key message and I wanted to get across today. Do not leave it to chance because, based on pure probability and statistics, if you leave it to chance, you will be part of that crisis.
Not leaving it to chance, but being proactive and not reactive. Love it, love it, love it, Jax, man. On that note, man, we are gonna let our listeners go. I'm gonna let you go, Jax. I'm gonna go and work out, man, because I want to be part of that solution and live longer and healthier for longer, man. Just one of many things we need to do, man.
Absolutely,
Come
absolutely.
on, come on, come on, man. Massive shout out to you and our listeners. And remember, all
Stay
stay woke.